All right, good afternoon. My name is Austin Link. I work at the Wilson Research Extension Center as a research specialist. I'd like to start by thanking all my co-PIs for collaborating on this project. Without them, the work that we're doing on this wouldn't be possible. Today I'm going to talk to you about the effects of cropping sequence, ripping, and manure on pipeline reclamation in western North Dakota. So an issue that you guys, or a lot of people at least that aren't familiar with the region, have probably only seen in the news. That being said, we have some preliminary data available that I want to go through and should shed some light on the issues we're dealing with and hopefully some solutions to them. In May of 2015, the installation of a 91 centimeter wide pipeline or 36 inch wide pipeline was installed at our REC. Not planned. It was a main water line going to a subdivision. Extended 2.4 kilometers in length and was 60 meters wide. We used this opportunity to establish a study across this disturbance area and identified three different disturbance areas, an undisturbed, a roadway, and a pipeline that we'll take a look at here in a second. We also selected several cropping sequences and perennial covers to evaluate as long-term reclamation practices. As you can see, in 2015 this study was established. However, in 2017 we actually received funding from the North Dakota Industrial Commission and the Oil and Gas Research Program for 4 years. So a study that we didn't know how long it would last went from well, we had 2 years of data to an additional 4 years, so we're actually going to end up being able to carry this out for 6 years. Before I get too far into the study, it's important to identify some differences in definitions between soil profiles and or between industries. In agronomy or in agronomic sciences, we would consider a Williams-Bobel's loam to have an A horizon, several B horizons, and eventually a C horizon where you might find parent material. In the engineering profession, where I guess the contractors that installed this pipeline come from, they would classify it as topsoil and subsoil. And currently, policy is based on the engineering definition. So, and it currently states that no more than 12 inches is to represent the topsoil. Unfortunately, it's often misinterpreted, with contractors pushing up 12 inches without taking a look at whether there is actually 12 inches of topsoil. We identified three objectives for this study. We wanted to define the reclamation success of a long-term control or a no action with continued monocropping, because that is currently what's going on pipeline reclamation, at least on cropland. We also wanted to evaluate the effects of five annual and two perennial cropping sequences on soil health and crop performance in these three disturbance areas. Lastly, and because we were able to fund this project, we split the cropping sequence treatments with ripping and manure. So we wanted to see if cropping sequence isn't enough to reclaim some of these areas, does deep ripping and the application of manure benefit these areas? This is the design for our study. For the cropping sequence portion, these sequences are based on the most commonly grown crops in western North Dakota. As you can see, 2015 and 2016 occurred with minimum till across all treatments. In 2017, we installed the splits across our cropping sequences. You can see where spring ripping was installed or was applied, and manure application. I should mention that those sub-treatments or splits were a one-time intensive treatment, so we don't intend to continually rip it for 4 years. It was viewed as a one-time rescue treatment. The cropping rotations included consecutive durum peas, barley, and safflower starting on different years, full season cover crop mix alternating with durum starting on different years, and then perennial alfalfa and perennial grasses. In the fourth year, we plan to reestablish flax or another annual crop as a reset for nitrogen and soil moisture because of the nature of some of the previous crops, such as alfalfa and the perennial grasses, which we We don't want to be seeing differences in soil moisture when we take a look at the soils. We want to be seeing differences in soil chemistry and the physical properties. And then the final year in 2020 will be a comparison of wheat across all treatments, being the most commonly grown crop in our region. So as you can see here, the sub-treatments that we installed were ripping or deep tillage at 40 centimeters, ripping with manure, and then continued minimum tillage. The only reason it not being no-till, needing a double disc opener to get into the ground we're in. So I didn't want to call it pure no-till, but it's as close as we can get at this point. And like I said, manure and ripping was not applied to the alfalfa or perennial grass treatments because they were already established. It's something we might look into doing further down the road, but at this point we want to look at see what those treatments are able to do by themselves without disturbing them. This is just the calculation for our manure application. We considered several different rates of manure. Ideally, we would like to determine what is the threshold of manure that you have to put on here, but we went with the highest rate that we were considering without getting into too much trouble with the salts. We still had 200 pounds of available end and 8,000 kilograms of carbon per hectare. I want to discuss the site conditions briefly because, as you may have heard from other talks, at least from the upper Midwest this year, we had a severe drought. We had 5.46 centimeters of precipitation between when the trial was seeded to when it was harvested this year. And so with that in mind, I don't have a lot of yield data from this year. However, I have some pretty interesting yield data from last year, and we'll still be analyzing this year's data. But everything was drought stressed, and wheat yields for this year were between anywhere from 5 to 12 bushels. So it doesn't really tell us a lot on what our treatments were doing, but does, I guess, show what we can do with such little moisture. Just to give you an idea of the site we're working with, this was actually a photo of the poor topsoil placement and the compacted roadway. So when a pipeline is installed, you see the topsoil is stripped off and put into a pile adjacent to the pipeline. And then there's often, at least on larger pipelines, a roadway that is established between the topsoil pile and the trench itself. And so this compacted roadway is what we're going to deal with most. And you can see in the topsoil pile that there's areas that don't exactly look like prototypical topsoil. There's a lot of white in there. And you guys can make your own conclusions about what that's going to end up looking like in the data. These are some interesting photos about different rooting depths on some of the different crops we have in the sequences. This is a turnip or the radish in the annual cover crop mix, and it shows the differences in the undisturbed roadway and pipeline rooting structure. The undisturbed is the only one that looks like a normal radish. The other ones, after 2 or 3 inches, made a 90-degree turn and decided that they weren't going to have anything to do with it. Peas, you can see the wimpy root structure that peas possess didn't handle the compaction very well either. And wheat is a little less distinct, but also you can see how stunted those plants are compared to the undisturbed plants. Just want to go through quickly how we applied the manure and how we installed the ripping treatments. We used a gravity box and a scale on a forklift to apply manure to each plot. We raked it out by hand, and this is what 30 tons of the manure we used looks like across a 15 by 15 foot plot. And when I say ripping, I know it's kind of a vague term, but this is what the implement we used to incorporate the manure. And we actually ripped it in both directions. Ripping is designed to be done at a little bit higher speed, and with the amount of rocks and compaction we had, we couldn't keep shear bolts in this. So doing it at a mile and a half an hour, I decided to go both directions so that it actually had the effect that it was designed to have. This is the dynamic cone penetrometer that we used to sample compaction. It's actually a hitch mounted, and it has a electric ram on it and syncs the data to a server automatically. So it's actually pretty handy, and we hope to continue to use it for the next few years on this study. So this is the first soil depth chart I want to show you. It's from the first year, and it displays the compaction from the different disturbance areas. The dotted line in the middle you see is the threshold for root development in terms of compaction. You can see the pipeline in the purple line and the blue line in the roadway. They cross that threshold, however, the pipeline fairly abruptly returns back, and it's fairly homogeneous in terms of being able to sustain root development. The undisturbed never crosses that threshold and stays fairly homogeneous as well. So in year three, we saw very little changes in that. Still around 10 centimeters deep, both the disturbed areas, the pipeline area, and the roadway area crossed that threshold and remain past it, especially in the roadway area, with the undisturbed remaining fairly mellow. And both of these charts that I've shown you were in the consecutive Durham treatment, so I didn't want the effects of any of the more aggressive crops influencing the compaction. In year three, I also made comparisons between the cover crop and the ripien itself. We wanted to know if these annual cover crops that we were putting in are aggressive enough to decrease compaction and increase infiltration. Can they break through the hard pan that was established by that road? This chart indicates that they, at least by year three, have not been able to do that. As you can see in yellow, the cover crop treatment over the road. The other two lines are tilled and ripped with manure over the consecutive Durham over the roadway. And you can see we have far less compaction at 5 to 10 centimeters. However, we do get severe compaction again back down at 15 to 20 centimeters. So we're increasing the rooting zone with the ripping. However, it's not as deep as we had probably initially thought it was going to be. A lot of the changes in soil structure, I think, are going to take more time to see effects than what we're seeing the season following the ripping installation. I'm going to go back to a little bit of yield data from this trial. This is actually from last season, but it indicates fairly similar to what we saw this year. Basically, there were yield losses, significant yield losses, in all disturbance areas, the roadway and pipeline, in all rotations, except for Durham following our annual cover crop. There was not a significant yield drop-off in that rotation. Something I found interesting was the alfalfa. I had hoped that this might have this effect. However, it gives us something interesting to think about, that alfalfa is out yielding. Alfalfa in the pipeline is out yielding the roadway and the undisturbed by quite significantly. As you can see here, it doesn't. This is in year two. And it doesn't necessarily suggest that alfalfa should be planted across every pipeline. However, it does make us question if the aggressiveness of the rooting system is better dealing with the pipeline trench itself. Year three biomass for the alfalfa, we had suspected to see similar results. However, due to variability with the drought year, statistically it was not significant. However, the means show that alfalfa in the pipeline is still doing fairly well. In the end, even if they were the same, it's a win for us in terms of trying to grow alfalfa across a pipeline and the severely compacted roadway. So our preliminary conclusions are that in years one and two, annual crops yielded significantly less in the road and pipeline areas. In year two, alfalfa yielded significantly higher in the pipeline area. And in year three, it did not yield significantly different between any of the disturbance area. The dynamic cone penetrometer data trend suggests tillage treatments reduce compaction more effectively than annual deep-rooted annual cover crops. However, additional soil sampling is probably needed for consecutive years and for longer-term effects. The future data analysis that we plan on conducting includes continued extensive soil sampling. We'll be installing access tubes to be doing volumetric moisture content, imagery, NDVI, RCB, or RGB, canopy temperature, and plant growth characteristics, which we conducted this year already. the management implications of this project. This project was designed to address barriers to successful pipeline reclamation. More specifically, it aims to provide short-term and long-term management strategies for landowners and to restore productivity and soil health to cropland. If economical reclamation options are available to landowners and contractors, more effective reclamation plans can be composed, and more efficient pipeline installations will be possible. Here's my literature cited. And if you have any questions that we don't have time for, go ahead and get a hold of me.